Hey guys, Ty from Breaker Culture, and it's episode 99. I cannot believe it's episode 99. Unbelievable. And I'm excited because this week, which blows my mind, is the kickoff of the NFL season. And I thought, you know what? We have to talk about football. And there's only one guy that I know has to be on the show with football cards, and that's Tyson Banker. Tyson, what's up, man? How you doing?
First of all, I'm honored to be 99. That's awesome. I know Shanny's got 100 locked down. Respectfully, he deserves it, but 99 is still pretty sweet.
That's right. I was looking back through some of my episodes the other day. I was cleaning out some stuff, and I'm like, my goodness, some of these that were 50, 60, got like 9,000 listens on it. And I'm like, oh my gosh.
That's been a long time. I mean, that's, congratulations to you. I mean, having 100 podcasts, I mean, that's a pretty cool deal. I mean, that's awesome. Congrats.
Well, thank you. Thanks for being on the show. We just got done doing a MLB flagship live show, and I should have changed shirts because people saw me in this shirt. So
you changed the background. That's the same thing.
I mean, come on, man. How can I not put this guy in the background?
Oh, man.
Good man. Well, yeah. So real quick, we're going to give away something today because you next week after week one are launching your first podcast on the Bench Clear Network. And I am super stoked, man. All of us are. And you're calling it Behind the Numbers Football Card Podcast or Cards Behind the Numbers.
Yep.
You excited about that?
I'm really excited about it. I just, I love football. It's been my passion. Played it my whole life pretty much through college and fantasy football and all those things. So just football is definitely the thing that just flows through the blood through me, and having a podcast about sports cards with it, just perfect. Let's do it.
Heck yeah. Well, I know there's going to be many, many listeners flooding over to listen to you talk about football cards. All right. So let's give away. I was trying to look through some stuff that I had sitting around, but a lot of the football cards that are retail only, I haven't got yet. So we're going to give away this premier draft, this hit 16 autographs in this stinking box.
Wow.
So we'll give it away to, here's what we'll do. We'll do one of our YouTube comments below. So if you're listening on iTunes or any of your other podcast networks, go to YouTube. You'll see the link and put a comment below and just tell Tyson what topic you want him to cover in his football card podcast.
There we go. Perfect.
Give him a topic. Perfect. Any topic.
Little content builder. Yeah. Yeah.
And, all those were randomized, and we'll do it. Let's do it Sunday night after the wrap up of the season. We'll give away this box. I'll probably throw in something else to make it really fun. I think you know what it's going to be. It's going to be something nice.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll get a Donruss box or something, and we'll try to combine some giveaways.
That's awesome.
But yeah, man, I'm excited. So what we're going to do tonight is episode 99 is going to be all about just premiering the NFL season, talking about kind of what's happening in the hobby with football cards. We'll talk a little bit about non-hobby related football news. And let's ramp everybody up heading into week one for things they can be doing with football cards.
Yeah.
That cool with you? You built the agenda, so I'm excited about this. You're gonna dictate what we're talking about.
Perfect. Yeah. Yeah.
Seriously though, are people more excited or less excited about football heading into this COVID-19 adjusted season? Like, what is your honest opinion on that?
My first word that comes to mind is nervous, because everybody looks forward to football so much, and football is every week so important. And I'm really nervous about their preparation of how they're going to handle COVID compared to the other sports. So just for me, it's nervous. I hope everything works. I hope the guys stay healthy and we don't have, the Chiefs miss week two because of COVID, or the Jaguars week four. Like, that could really mess things up with the NFL because every week's so important. So I'm nervous. I hope that it works out, and I'm excited to see football Thursday night at least and get it rolling. But I just say, for me, nervous for sure.
Okay. Yeah, that's fair. Have you broken down kind of the COVID-19 protocols for the NFL?
I have not gone that deep into it. No.
Okay. I haven't either. So I'm really curious. I know they changed some things, and they've been kind of tweaking this to make it work.
Yeah. I'm just making sure I have mine down for my school.
Oh my goodness. No kidding. For you. Yeah. So you're in full session, right? I should have asked.
Yeah, we did a staggered start this week, and we got our first full all grades, because we're 4-12 at my small private school. So we go full board on Tuesday. So.
Wow. Are you prepared for this?
Yeah. Luckily with my school, our numbers are lower. We only have 300 kids from 4-12. So
okay.
I think manageable. It's pretty good. I mean, it's really hard. I think when you it's so hard because kids just naturally do things that aren't socially distanced. And I think that that's so hard to try to preach that into kids, because it's just, hey man, walk single file instead of side by side by your buddy, so the hallway's clear, you know, just weird things like that. It's been really hard because it's not normal, you know?
Yeah, no, that's fair. That's a fair point. Okay. So back to COVID-19 here real quick with the football season. Are they allowing fans? Have you decided? Is it 100% no fans?
I haven't heard that. I assumed not, but that I know that some
colleges assume there was no fans.
Yeah, I assume so. I know some colleges I heard were like trying to do like 2,000 max, like some weird. I just think that's forcing it, but
yeah. Well, there was college football on this weekend, and I was watching the games, and if you didn't know that there was not COVID-19 restrictions, I don't think you would have picked up on the reduction in fans. I don't think you would have noticed.
Yeah, I don't.
So I don't know if it was like sounds being created from speaker system, or if it was just fans that were there being really loud. I don't know.
Yeah, but I don't know what games you're watching, but I saw like Marshall and a couple games that usually the fans aren't really relevant anyways. I didn't see like Ohio State and Oregon were supposed to play this year, and I tell you, we would have noticed if that was the situation and with no fans, I think.
Well, Matthew McConaughey would disagree with that comment about Marshall. I'll tell you that right now.
That is true. We are Marshall. My bad.
Yeah. One of the greatest sports films of all time.
I agree. I love that show. That's a good one.
Yeah. All right. So week one does kick off. This podcast will be releasing on the 7th or the 8th. First game is going to be on the 10th, I believe, right? Thursday night.
Right.
Let's talk a little bit about just the NFL as a whole, and then let's get into hobby specific stuff.
Okay.
I guess from a very 30,000 foot perspective, what's kind of been surprising to you with some of the free agent moves and some of the things kind of working around the NFL system? Anything stand out to you, Tickler, you want to talk about?
I think if we're just talking to this big landscape, I'm starting to get the impression that KC's in a position just to roll and potentially be, undefeated type season roll. I just don't see much challenge in them offense. Like their offense is just I just think their division's gonna be tough to stop them.
Did you say so undefeated type season? Is that
somebody said the other day on a podcast, let's do is they kind of have that Patriots vibe when they went 17-1. I think they have that type of firepower that they could definitely put that together. Especially in their division, retooling. The Chargers are restarting a quarterback. You got the Broncos, Locke still developing, and the Raiders don't really have a quarterback that people like too much right now. So I don't think their division's going to challenge them that much. You got the Patriots are out of there, which they already kind of put that to rest last year. So to me, that's kind of interesting to see if they can actually put something together like that. I think in terms of the Patriots, though, that AFC East, I'm really interested to see if another team can actually elevate to the top and take that division over finally, or does Cam take the Patriots back up there? I think Cam's very interesting in terms of free agent. The Fournette news isn't that big of news to me, because I don't even think he really has a definite role with the Bucks right now.
Hey, now people are buying his cards up. That can't be true.
Yeah, I know. Fournette's talented, but you got to see what happens, because I think a couple of guys I listened to say it best, that Brady decided who's behind him at running back. If you protect and if you do the things you're supposed to, Brady will put you back there. So it's not really up to Fournette, or really probably Arians in that best respect.
That's true. Coach Brady says what happens.
That's right. obviously Tampa Bay is interesting. I'm really interested. I will tell you one thing of the big landscape of football. I'm really interested to see how the Saints do this year. I feel like they're getting older. I feel like this is a team. Are they, Kamara has been kind of oftenly injured. I feel like Thomas has kind of plateaued a little bit. I still think he's a phenomenal player, but I'm just really interested to see how that team does. Cause they've kind of, the last year they really shifted to a defensive team. Like it was really interesting cause their defense was just really dominant. And I'm just kind of interested to see how they fare next year being with Tampa Bay and how that battle is going to go.
Yeah, that will be interesting. Yeah, when I look at the NFC, I'm very interested to see how the Saints do for sure. I'm also interested to see how the Seahawks do. I feel like that's the team that's just always there, ready to go. And when I think about a COVID-19 season, I'm really curious to see, like, is it the veteran teams that are just able to weather the lack of preparation and the lack of touches in preseason?
Yep.
Or is it, like, the young guys who just don't know what they don't know? Right, they go in and they have nothing to lose. At this point.
there's so many like little whammies, right? Like what if Mahomes gets COVID's out for 2 weeks, you know, like what, like how many little variables of like quarterbacks if they get COVID or running backs or,
yeah,
you know, cause I mean, it's a big difference between, you know, see like Chris Carson getting COVID or Russell Wilson, that could cost them a game or two, you know? So I think that's going to be interesting as well. Some things we can't predict from our lens.
Very, very true. Very true. Do you think that they will end up cutting the season short, or do you think that we'll end up playing through this? I mean, what's the vibe that you're sensing?
The vibe with me when it comes to NFL, they're going to power through as long as they can. I think it's going to have to take a really big issue or just something big's going to have to happen for them to stop. I don't think they're going to stop for every COVID case, or even if 3 or 4 teams have it, they're going to figure out a way to manage it rather than stop.
Yep.
In my opinion.
I agree. I feel like at this point, Ryan, when you got the MLB season that powered through it, they had that really tough 10-day stretch, and the NBA, and granted, the NBA and NHL were in a bubble, so it's a little bit different, but I feel like there's no way they don't play.
The only thing that's be interesting is when they do have those situations of teams like the NMLB where they've had to cancel the games or postpone them and then just do double headers. Well, you can't do that in the NFL. So I don't know how they're going to manage that game flow stuff, because there are people already unhappy with the Monday, Thursday, Sunday in terms of the turnaround from Sunday to Thursday games. Like, players don't like that. So I don't see how they're going to manage those type of situations. I think makes sliding a double header on a Thursday night, I think that would be get messy, cause some injuries. I don't think it'd be good for the players.
So. Yep, I agree. It's gonna make your podcast that much more interesting every single week. You're gonna have plenty of content.
That's right. Lots to talk about.
All right, so let's shift a little bit here and let's talk about hobby specific stuff, because there's so much we want to dive into tonight.
Yeah.
Let's start with just kind of the overall vibe we're getting from the sports card market, specifically football cards, because I think you and I would both agree, like baseball cards, basketball cards, soccer cards have exceeded basically all expectations that we could have had 5 months ago.
Right. Yeah.
The big wild card was obviously football, being that it's just a tougher market in general. It's quarterback driven. And then you and I had a podcast, I want to say 5 or 6 weeks ago, and we were just talking about what we were seeing with data and how we were getting that. It was pretty clear to us that receivers and running backs, especially with this type of draft, were going to start exploding in the football card market. And it became kind of the perfect storm, with sports cards really exploding as a whole. And then I think people started to realize there is really undervalued players in the NFL right now.
Yeah.
And their position is not QB, right? It's WR and it's RB and it's TE. Are you super bullish on the football card market right now?
I think I am. I think it's still climbing. And I think it's going to have that kind of that bump that we just looked at on the MLB show of when the MLB started. I think we're going to see probably a similar thing in football. And I think the fun thing with football that I keep telling people that say, well, why football, is that the supply is not as easy to come across. The pop reports are low. The cards they're just harder to find. And so that makes the chase more fun, in my opinion. And so I think that's why some of these cards command such insane values. When you see, you know, the Mahomes and Brady's almost touching 10K, you're like, whew, you know? So I just think that having those type of top end players just makes it really attractive. And I think it's going to continue to spike until that season starts, and we see how the NFL kind of materializes through COVID for sure.
Yeah, no, I think that's a good point. Your point on supply cannot be like stated in bold enough. Like they're on the pop reports, when you want a player in the NFL, if you want to go get their Topps Chrome or their Prism or their Prism Silver, I mean, you're looking at pop reports in the tens,
yeah,
maybe the hundreds.
Yeah, maybe the hundreds.
You don't see guys in thousands. Like, you don't see a 13,000 pop report like you do a Ronald Acuna Jr.
Right.
You know, or a Ja Morant with 7,000 base prisms after the first, you know, 2 months. Doesn't
exist. Still commanding, but yeah.
Doesn't exist. So that to me is like when you think about prices shooting really fast, like it's a perfect storm for a short squeeze where you got all this excitement and there's nothing to buy. You can't get it.
It's very volatile. It's like there's so much. It's funny in your charts kind of illustrate it too, because even like some guys like Drew Lock, Rodgers and Josh Allen just had no purchases in September yet. Yeah. Just because that things don't move as fast because the quantity isn't as easy to just sell every day like you can with baseball. And so sometimes when that Josh Allen silver goes for sale, that's a rare opportunity to buy perhaps. And so you have to make a smart decision if that's your time. So that's what I think is interesting too.
Yeah, that's a great point. We'll talk through some of these values here in a minute, because I do think it's going to be fun to talk about kind of monthly prices, and we'll break some of that down a little bit for you, for the listeners too. Right. So let's start with kind of what's out there for the 2020 season. Cause you and I have already talked a little bit about rookies we're excited about. And I don't know if maybe while I'm pulling this up, is there any rookies that after seeing some of the buzz and the excitement that you're more excited about now that we're heading into the season?
I don't think my position has changed too much on rookies other than because I know I mentioned him last time, but I just really think Cam Akers is getting in a really good situation. I just think the Rams are going to run the ball really well. And, you know, Gurley's gone. It's between Cam Akers and Henderson's still a nice little buy too. These are kind of my fantasy / sports card sleepers. I think they're both in a good position. I still think that, you know, Burrow looks good. Like all of his training camp reports, everything has just been glowing. And I really like the offensive minded coach that they have with Zach Taylor. I think that can be really good for Burrow's development and having AJ Green come back and being back on board. He hasn't been disgruntled. He's been healthy. And I'm really big on Joe Mixon. I think that offense could be pretty good. So I think Joe Burrow's good. At Tua, I'm really interested to see with the health and just seeing what they do with him. I think you can't count on much for him. I'm just kind of hoping that they don't play him too much, to be honest. I kind of hope they slow roll that. And then Herbert, I'm kind of the same. Like Tua and Herbert, if you're a believer in them, I strongly suggest just kind of waiting while they're not playing. And I think you have some good buys towards the end of mid of season, and then take some chances before they get a little bit of action at the end of the year. I like Justin Jefferson a lot as a receiver for the Vikings. I think he's really explosive coming from that LSU offense, just tons of catches, just really good at the high point, just does a lot of good receiver things that I like to see. I can't decide on Jonathan Taylor too much. I just don't know. The Colts just kind of confuse me because I think Marlon Mack's good. And so I don't know if it's going to be what time share is going to be. Same thing with Swift. Swift, they just signed AP, the Lions did. So they have AP, Kerryon Johnson, and Swift. And so I just, a couple of those guys I don't feel as good as. But I'm all in on CEH though. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, I think he's in a huge spot to put up huge fantasy numbers and be on one of the best teams in the league. So that's kind of a quick run through of the top guys off the top of my head that I feel pretty good about.
Those are good. Yeah. And I think that's really helpful. And I think people will probably stop for a minute and write down some of those names. This is the one year where it's probably for everybody. I had to pop at a fantasy draft and I couldn't name 10 rookies that I was really interested in drafting. And every year I'm usually the guy that's drafting rookies and storing them on my bench.
Nice save.
I'm kidding. That was almost a disaster. This will be interesting to see. Like does the uneducated fantasy player, does that hurt? And I guess the good thing about football cards is you got contenders and prism that come out in November, December.
Right.
And so we have plenty of time to kind of catch up on rookies.
You're not betting too early.
Right. Exactly. Because the reality is, look, there's what, 4, 8, there's about 11 decent products out, 11 Panini products out that are relevant. And outside of maybe Score or maybe Donruss Elite, you can't make an argument for a legitimate rookie card in those products. It's not until Donruss comes out this next week that we really start to see rookie card prices move up and down.
Yeah.
So anyway, that was a slight tangent. Good point. Let's talk a little bit about what is on the market right now, because I think a lot of people are, you know, moving into football cards, maybe aren't as educated on what happens with football cards. You have a lot, you have your 10 to 15 products that come out basically up through week one, and then week one through week about six, you have some of the flagship products come out, and then you roll into Prism and Contender season. It's kind of the way it works in NFL.
Right.
So let me pop something up on the screen here. And for podcast listeners, I'm going to show some hobby box prices. So we get a feel for kind of what's on the market right now. And some of this you're seeing really for the first time. So I apologize to you, Tyson, but that's okay.
No, I got it. Yeah. I'm up to speed. No, it's good.
Okay. So you can see here that the top priced hobby box right now, and some of these are pre-sale. So these I added in because they are selling on eBay. So I wanted to give you guys a good tracker. Right. Mosaic's coming in at $705.
Wow.
Hobby box. Yeah. Prism Drafts number 2 at $359.
Right.
Crazy. It's up from $300 just 4 weeks ago. It's moving up pretty quick.
Do you think that'll start to like come back down once the Prism comes out? Like, is that just kind of, they're just climbing for that? They're cool cards, man. I love college football, so I know they don't hold the value, but they're cool cards. I got a couple Herberts that I like just for fun, being an Oregon fan.
Did you buy wax or did you buy those singles?
I bought those singles.
Okay.
Yeah, we didn't get any wax up here, and just got some Herberts off some people on some sales.
Nice. Yep. So number 2 Prism Draft, number 3's Gold Standard at $301. Number 4 Panini Black at $252, which is actually down.
Yeah, well, I understand. I was underwhelmed. I didn't like it. I watched a couple of breaks of it, and just the Panini Black, just the base cards just didn't really, they just didn't do it for me. I don't know why. I just didn't like them that much. And I think the autos, most autos are sticker. And so just people just kind of, I think, weren't too impressed.
Well, prices are down 15%. So I think you're in the majority, apparently. Yeah. 2020 Donruss Elite, next on the list at $229. So for those that aren't looking at this, right, the podcast listeners, you can see prices have actually fallen for basically every product except for Legacy and Score.
And Prism Draft, right?
Which is pretty fascinating to see. This is very normal for football cards.
Yeah.
So Certified, Donruss Elite's $229. Certified's $213. Elements is $213. 2020 Donruss, these are pre-sales for Donruss because those actually officially come out this week. $208.
Mm-hmm.
2020 late, which again, we're not looking at perspective here. Perspective compared to last year, these are still pretty high priced.
Right.
2020 Legacy $172 and Score at $152. Of those products out right now, which ones kind of excite you? If you were educating someone to go buy a box, which ones do you like?
Non pre-sale, like stuff they can buy now.
Let's say stuff on the market. Let's say so. Strip out Mosaic, and we can include Donner since that's coming out.
Well, I think like you kind of said, like there's nothing you want to go overboard with right now. Like everything's kind of just getting your feet wet, checking things out. But I mean, I just think the Donruss looks pretty cool. That Marvel series, I think, looks awesome. I saw the Marvel of Kyler Murray, and I saw the Marvel of Mahomes. Like a couple of them, they're going for almost $700-$800. Like they're really short printed. They're hard to hit. And then also Donruss has the kind of the optic hollow versions of, so the rookies already in there, they're pulling. I saw the Burrow come out, that's going for about $600. So the Donruss has some nice appeal to me for those kind of optic hollow rookies that you could possibly get. The base cards are meh. They're kind of that paper that something you're not going to, they're just going to take up space in your cardboard box probably. But, but there's definitely some cool chases in there for the rookie cards, I think, that will hold value for a while.
Yeah, I agree. Of that list, I would absolutely gravitate towards Donruss for sure.
Yeah.
You
and I talked about that Marvel as soon as we saw that was a thing. We were like, well, that's going to be cool. And it is. Like people are, I mean, it's selling well.
It's got the kaboom effect.
It does have the kaboom effect, 100%.
Very retro, very much reaches back and pulls people into that nostalgia factor cards. Yep. I don't think that, I mean, what's going to be fun is to see some of those graded cards pop up. I think it's going to be pretty impressive, the prices they're getting.
Right.
For those that are looking at football cards to get right now, the cards that are on the market, like, I mean, look, $150 for a box of Score, I might go that direction. Maybe. I mean, but I'm not paying $360 for a box of Prism Draft. I'll tell you that.
Right.
I might consider Donruss Elite as well.
Like the thing with Score cards that I've, and just in my short couple of times seen the last couple of years, it just seems like the design, they don't try very hard. It's just, yeah, they're not, you know, they don't do anything unique. There's nothing with them that you're just like, oh, that's cool looking. Like Origins, like, you know, they really go for it. They really try to make some nice design features and numbered cards that are pretty high. But a score just kind of leaves some to be desired when it comes to that.
Yeah, I feel like it's they pull up Microsoft Publisher and they, yeah, okay, what Microsoft templates do we have
right
for us right now we could use to design this card?
It has a nice centered border.
And then when we print them, they will not be centered, just to make it more interesting.
Right. I know.
Yeah, so all that to say, just be patient.
Yeah, just be patient. It's a little fun.
That's right. What about cards coming out in the next month? And I'll read you some of the cards coming out, but anything that you're super excited about? I mean, obviously Mosaic, right? That comes out the 11th.
Right. That would be good.
Absolute comes out the 25th. And I guess officially Origins hits the street on 9/30. So again, that's one of the pre-sale prices there.
National Treasures Collegiate, where you play a ransom that's not going to hold.
Exactly. I will pass on Treasures.
Probably Origins on the 30th. I'm probably the most excited about football-wise. It's coming up.
Yeah, I agree with you. I would go Donruss this week, and then I would go Origins the end of the month. And then when you look into October, you're going to have Spectra on October 9th. XR on the 16th, Impeccable on the 21st, and Illusions on the 23rd. My goodness gracious, October is going
to
be crazy.
Man, they hit that too fast. I don't feel like they let the other ones breathe enough. They need to space that out more. So I feel like, you know, you're on XR and then you're on the next thing, and it's just it just keeps rolling so fast that people switch the next things too fast.
They do.
You're a big XR guy. You were telling me you like XR quite a bit, don't you?
Yeah, it's okay. It's a I think it's a fun product. I really do. But if I'm looking at that week, you got a 7-day span. You got XR, Impeccable, and Illusions.
Yeah,
probably gravitating towards Impeccable.
Think so?
Yeah.
Illusions is always kind of not. Illusions is kind of not great usually.
Yeah.
At least I wasn't impressed with basketball.
Agreed. Yeah. And they didn't, I mean, that's kind of a surprise product too. So I think people were kind of like, oh, wait, what? And then Zion Williamson's, the hype died out. But anyway, it's a football podcast. Gosh darn it.
Sorry.
Yeah. a very active next 8 weeks. I think we agreed on gravitate towards Donruss, gravitate towards maybe Mosaic with whatever you can find in the wild. That's going to be a retail product too. So Mosaic will be really, really hot. And then look at maybe Origins and Spectra.
Yeah. Be really interesting. Like from the Canada perspective, I'm really hoping we get Mosaic, but I'm not holding my breath.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I know a lot of people that ordered that both hobby and retail, and they were cut dramatically with allocations. Yeah. So I don't expect it to be, floating around Walmarts and Targets. okay. So there you go. So that's kind of for those that are looking for products to buy, those are some ones to consider. Now, let me show you real quick on the, I don't want to get ahead of myself, blaster box prices, on the secondary market. Scores for $22, Prestige $27, Donruss Elite $29. Donruss is going for about $35. And Prism Draft.
Is that real? Is that like 20 original?
Oh yeah.
That's incredible. That's
$63
for Prism. 3X on a college product?
Yeah. People paying that are out of their mind.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah. I'd even say $36 for Donruss is crazy, but I mean,
that's just a little bit of hype, just the new. Like it's,
Well, that, I think you're seeing some of the big some of the big inserts are available in retail this year. So,
yeah, and that's great. That makes it,
Great. So that'll make retail really fun. So there you go. There's the rundown on blaster prices for the retail.
When you grab these, Ty, does that factor in the shipping too or no?
This is just final sold price without shipping.
Okay. I was just curious because Prestige, is it just 20 plus shipping? 20,
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, for a lot of these sellers that are selling blasters, most of them do free shipping now.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's a good point. That's plus shipping.
Prestige is easy to find. So I was just surprised that that's above, that's still, you know, $7 above retail.
Hey, don't tell the flippers that they can buy it for 20 with tax 22 and sell it for 27 with 12% fees.
Yeah, no kidding.
Don't get me started. All right. So let's shift a little bit here and let's talk about some players. You cool with that?
Yeah, man. Let's do it.
Because I'm really fascinated with some of the prices right now, and I don't want to get ahead of myself. Okay, so monthly prices. So again, this is looking at monthly. So we're not going to go to daily price average yet because there's not enough activity. But number one, Brady at $9,700.
Yeah.
You mentioned earlier. I mean, it was a shade under $6,000 in June. It's a 2000 Bowman Chrome PSA 10.
I know. That thing just took off too. And I remember seeing it then. I was like, man, that's pretty high. And then, I think just watching Brady and Mahomes and really Wilson, because Wilson was super low. You can see his little bump from 800 up to 2,500. But that's to me, you can just kind of see the growth of the market for football just right there behind our, like before our eyes, just slowly going up.
Yeah. So you're referring to the 2012 Panini Prism Russell Wilson. I think that's the towed down version, right?
Right. The base, and that was going pretty cheap. And I noticed that my very first evaluation of the prices was like, how's this under 1,000? And next thing you know, it like quadrupled.
So yeah, crazy. It literally quadrupled. And then it's settling around $2,700 bucks. That's number three in the list. Number two is Patrick Mahomes, who went from $3,100 in June for his 2017 Panini Prism Silver PSA 10 to $7,600.
Yeah. And he had a couple outliers too. He had a couple that scraped nine, didn't he?
He did.
Yeah. He did. So, I mean, he had a lot of growth.
Yeah. Again, not a ton of supply. Like those were hard to hit, and they were really hard to grade PSA 10s.
And his is one of the higher ones of supply, actually, too. He's all over, I think he's like 60-ish.
Whoa!
And that's high.
Yeah.
Well, it is, though. That's funny, because I mean, I think Russell Wilson was like 15, 20. Like some of those guys are much lower.
Yeah. No, you're right. Yeah, I mean, number four. So the top seven or quarterbacks, number four is Drew Brees. Was basically $900 bucks in June. It's 2001 tops.
Yeah.
It's now 2200. Some of the multipliers you're seeing here, it's just like, what the heck?
Do you think that's entire market or do you think football is surging? That's what I can't decipher. Because really, we can look at this for baseball, for basketball, all of them have a similar, a big growth curve. But I think football... I think what you said, the gap on the bottom's come up with football. It's made it more interesting. But I don't know. I just wanted to ask you that when we were talking about this, because is it football or is it all market?
I think it's all market going up. I think there's just a lot of money floating around. A lot of people made money in basketball.
Right.
And baseball's a tough one to jump right into. I think the basketball market's probably more related to the football market than baseball.
Right.
I would not be surprised if a lot of the basketball hype flows into the football card market.
Right.
And again, we hinted towards this earlier. What you're seeing is not just the quarterbacks moving, you're seeing running backs and receivers move. And you know, we can break down this list right now. Again, for the listeners, right. I mean, some of these guys you're looking at, Saquon's moved from 550 to 1300.
That's crazy. That's and to be fair, like Saquon hasn't put a season together yet.
That's exactly right.
Like, and so that's huge, seeing that growth. I just don't know. To me, I just don't know how you take, how does he make more than CMC and Zeke? I love Saquon's premier talent, don't get me wrong, but he has not put together a season close to CMC or Zeke yet.
Yeah, you can grab a 2016 Panini Prism PSA 10 Ezekiel Elliott for $450.
Yeah.
You could buy three of them for the price of one Saquon.
That doesn't add up. I mean, some of it may be market, but the Cowboys are a big market too. So I don't know.
Yeah, sign me up for Ezekiel Elliott for sure.
Yeah, for sure. Now, I was going to ask you this time, put you on the spot.
Oh, boy.
Drew Lock, where he's at now? Come on. That's too high.
So he was floating around 780, 750 in June. He's hovering around 1,200 now.
Not one game over 250 passing on the way out, even though they won all four.
But I think it's cheap.
I think it's cheap. Oh, man.
here's my bet to you.
All right, let's do a bet. I'll
bet you a coffee.
Okay.
I'll bet you by the end of October, that card is pushing $1,700.
I'll take that bet for sure. Yeah.
You take it?
Okay. Yeah, I'll take that bet. Well, you don't drink coffee, so I'll send you some.
I drink coffee. Do you drink coffee?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I'm a big coffee drinker.
Okay. Oh, okay. Somebody thought that you said you didn't.
We'll do a bag. I'll do a bag of coffee from a local roast here. You do a bag of coffee from your local roast. Well,
you got it.
Okay. All right.
Deal.
1,700. That's the threshold.
What's our deadline? October, November 1st?
What would that put us at? That would put us at right around week 7.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Deal.
Deal.
That's going to be fun one to track.
Not going to be good for my new podcast if you beat me on the first bet.
count on it. Michael Thomas, 2016 Panini Prism. 170 in June.
Mm-hmm.
Grab it for $860 right now.
Yeah.
You a buyer at that price?
Oh, man.
That's the best receiver in football?
What's that?
For arguably the best receiver in football?
Yeah, it's a tough one because, like I mentioned before, I'm just worried to see how the Saints look this year. I really feel personally that they're going to take a little bit of a step back offensively. And so probably not a buyer there, but I'm a big believer in Thomas's talent. And I think he's a Hall of Famer. He's got four seasons in a row with 100 receptions. Like he's doing amazing things. I think he's coming to the top though. I don't see him going for 1,000. And he doesn't really get the, yeah, I know. I think he had a pretty crazy stat in fantasy. Like, this is off the top of my head, but I know he has an insane percent of his catches are under 8 yards. And so yep. I do think that kind of can bug people compared to like what the Marvin Harrisons and the Jerry Rices and those kind of Hall of Fame receivers would do with stretching the field. So he is definitely your possession receiver by definition.
Yes, I would agree. I think that seeing what Michael Thomas is doing, because people know Michael Thomas as the fantasy receiver god, you know, like the guy is going to put up, you said 110 receptions a year. He's the guy to have on your team. I think that has played into his prices.
Yeah. And I think he's playing with a Hall of Fame quarterback too. That's also, I think that's always a plus for the receivers. They have a really top notch guy going to them. That's going to help their value as well. So
that's fair. That's fair. Drew Brees is kind of good. Any other names stand out in that list now that we're looking at it?
I think, like, to me, like Fitzgerald, like you have him above Thomas there in terms of his average. I think he's just, I think his career is gonna be more prominent than what Thomas is. I think Fitzgerald.
Wow.
I think he's a great receiver. In terms of talent, in terms of everything he did, even though no championships, those type of things, but you just kind of think about what he's had to deal with in terms of the quarterbacks, and he had Warner, but not much after before Warner. So I really like what he's done.
Yeah.
I talked about Kelsey before. I still think he's pretty low. I think he can move up. I think he's a really good player. Who else stands out? Devonta Adams. I think he's way too low. And Joe Mixon and Cooper Kupp. I think Cooper Kupp still, I think he could have a big year. Cooper Kupp, he's kind of been Goff's go-to guy. No Cooks. So I do think Kupp could come up a little bit too. From being small, he was insane. Have you ever seen his numbers Eastern Washington, Ty?
No, I don't think I have.
His numbers Eastern Washington was like almost 200 yards receiving a game, like 10 catches. He was just a productive monster. It was crazy. So, but yeah.
What did he play against? Other Division II schools?
1AA or 1A is kind of their division. But yeah, it was lower, but still the volume was incredible. So,
Can he stay healthy? Some of these guys, it's like, again, I think we're getting really excited about football cards. And I love this. I love that we're talking about receivers and running backs.
Yep.
You get hurt.
Yep.
And it changes everything.
It does.
Yep. A lot of these guys are just going to get hurt.
Right. Yep.
And that's football, though.
That's football.
It is. Yeah, I'm scanning through the list again. I think Travis Kelce at 380 is interesting. I still think I got to go back to this guy. I mentioned it in our last conversation. Garoppolo below 300 to me is just a steal.
Yeah, just in the market too. He's in a really good position. I really think when you step back and you look right now, to me it's the Niners and the Chiefs have the coaching staffs and the youth to be really good for a while. And so even if Garoppolo's not top, he's got the pieces around. Like I put on our agenda, like situation's everything in football. When you fall into a team with the weapons and the coaching, it can mean everything for you. And if you fall into the wrong team or the wrong coaches, you can fade away and have a terrible career. Like I think situation's one of the biggest things you got to look at when people you're going to invest when it comes to football, for sure.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. So it'll be interesting because when we talk about some of these guys and guys that don't get hurt and are playing and have a game or two, with this kind of this new era, at least for this season, of everyone's at home watching, you have computer access, you can pop on eBay, you can pop on starstock.com and you can trade these guys as they're performing. You can not only do FanDuel, you can not only do your fantasy team, but now you can go trade your cards really fast. Like,
to me, that's gotta be more fun than daily fantasy, just because like you actually have items that you're buying. You know what I mean? It's not just putting in a lineup and trying to win money. You're exchanging, you know, Kamara because of the matchup. Like, I think that's really fun. That Starstuck idea, I'm definitely gonna be playing with that when it comes to football season and looking at matchups and playing it like my fantasy team a bit.
Yeah, no, I think it's going to really increase the value of a ComC and Star Stock. And even like you're going to see players that you realize, like Larry Fitzgerald, let's say he has a great year, like you're going to go on eBay and you're going to buy his cards because you want to own a piece of that. Like that to me is really, really fun.
Yeah.
I think the culture of the NFL market is already ready for this.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of time. Just a matter of time. Yeah, so I back to this chart here one more time. Garoppolo, sub 300, sign me up. Again, I look at some of these receivers and I think, man, this could be really fun because there's so many good rookie receivers. But like DK Metcalf, $90 in June, he's $360 now.
Yeah.
4X.
Oh, I know. Like all those guys, 19 guys have just taken off in general. Like I remember one of my only packs I bought a couple weeks ago was Prism, and I got a Kyler base in there, and I was like, "Oh, it's cool, I got Kyler base," and it's going for 200 raw. Like,
my gosh,
the Kyler base! I'm just like, "Geez, Louise, like this is crazy." So yeah, I mean, the 2019 guys are kind of exploding. I've been kind of buying a little bit of N'Keal Harry just as a sleeper in that product because I think that he could have some opportunity in New England. So,
yeah, do you need to pop over to your draft taking place right now?
I just picked Zeke at 4. So I was lucky to get him at 4.
Yeah. So we're at 11 p.m. Central time here.
Yeah.
Week before that week of the NFL kickoff, and you're doing your fantasy draft live on this podcast. That's great.
Multitasking, man. That's how it is.
How many teams are in your draft?
12. Yeah. 12. So
in my mind, it's coming back in about what, 16 picks?
Yeah. But I didn't think I'd get Zeke. Zeke usually goes third, so I got lucky being a Cowboys fan. That was kind of nice. But I was prepared to take Clyde Edwards at 4, but didn't have to.
My son was in a draft tonight. So two things about my son real quick. This is pretty funny. So Jackson, he had a draft today. Jackson and my son Kai, they both had a draft. And Jackson had the third pick, and he took Clyde Edwards. Mm-hmm. And I was like, is that high for him? It feels like it's kind of high for a rookie.
Yeah.
And he's like, nah, that's what he's going for in drafts. He's in the top 5.
Yeah.
And it's stinking true. I can't believe he's going that high.
I know. I was, I, the, the draft before our show, I got him at 10, and I was ecstatic. I got him and Jacobs on the turn. I couldn't believe it. So I was like,
wow.
I got Ann Mahomes coming back the next time. So I'm a Chiefs fan with that league.
But second thing about Jax, so in between our last two shows, we did our flagship, we talked about earlier, flagship report about an hour ago. And I went down to say goodnight to the kids, and he's asleep. And I kind of tuck him in a little bit, and he opens his eye and he's like, "Hey, Dad, how was your podcast?"
That's a great kid right there.
Oh, my, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's a great kid right there. He's still thinking about you, even when he's having fun with his stuff.
Yeah, that's right. I said Tyson was okay, but it was good overall.
Could have been better. Could have been better.
I'm kidding. No, it was pretty funny. All right. So real quick, let's flip this over here. So again, listeners, we're going to flip over. I'm going to show volume for the month just to give everyone else a feel for kind of what's moving right now. And all of this stuff I give to the Patreon audience, Tyson helps. Yeah. Okay. So monthly averages. I was quizzing you earlier.
Look at the number.
PSA 10 sold.
Oh. Goodness. Like it just cracks me up to see those numbers, because this is the point about supply. It's just like, if you put up one of the baseball guys we talked about, it'd be 200 or whatever. Like their volume is just insane, and just, I don't know, it's just funny.
Yeah, Carson Wentz at 11, Deshaun Watson at 10, Zeke at 9 Fournette, which is hilarious. Like we'll close with some of the thoughts on recent news, but Fournette at 8, like, oh my gosh, the price they're paying.
Yeah.
And then Mahomes, Brady, Metcalf, Thomas, and Kamara round out the top 10. I was really surprised with Carson Wentz. I get it. This is through the 5th. So this is 5 days into the month, but I'm really surprised to see Wentz moving that much.
It's just like, but look, all the signs just aren't looking good. I mean, Jeffrey's injured. Their rookie just got injured. They drafted a quarterback high. I just don't see what's being put into place that's making people feel better about Wentz. Like they're preparing if he gets hurt again. And so I don't know. I don't know why he's being bought right now, to be honest.
Philly fans are crazy. They love their quarterback.
Yeah. They are crazy.
You know, they're a believer in their quarterback, and it's kind of hard to argue with that, I guess.
It's true.
Yeah, but anyway, so I, Deshaun Watson, I can totally see. And it's always fun to compare it to the previous month, right? I mean, we're 5 days in, but last month, Deshaun Watson by far had the most cards sold, 103 PSA 10s. And again, we're talking comparatively, last month, Fernando Tatis, 650 of his PSA 10 2019 sold.
But I think in football, you got to be careful, because I think when you see more guys being sold, I think it's people getting out, in my opinion. When it gets too high, I can see it more people, I don't want to say dumping, because I wouldn't say Watson's being dumped, but people are more open to selling him, may also be a sign that people are thinking it might not be a great year, which I'm kind of on that realm with the Texans. I'm not sure how he's going to do with that new look without Hopkins and whatnot. So.
Okay, that's fair. That's a fair point.
I just don't know if volume, because of the supply. I don't think the volume being high means that they're trending up.
Yeah. Well, that's a fair point. We'll have to watch prices with some of these guys, because there's not a lot of, and there's not many guys that have tons of volume.
Right.
And yeah, that's fair. That's fair. Yeah. I'm thinking through how we could, what's the counter argument to that? Like what could we actually pull up to figure that out? But that's kind of hard to see, right? You don't really, you have to track buys and sells,
right?
Who's unloading. It's just, it's one of those things, right? It is what it is. The only way to track it is if it's the price is going up with higher volume, then it's probably a pretty darn good sign. And I'm looking at Deshaun Watson right now as we speak. Deshaun Watson's price is actually, so price went up. He was at 300 June 5th, and he is hovering around 820 right now. But as the volume was increasing, the price was going up. Yeah, this will be fun to watch. This is I don't disagree at all though.
Cool.
Some guys are like,
that's more of like an educated guess. Like maybe that's Wentz's thing. Maybe people are getting out on Wentz. Is Wentz growing?
Yeah, let's look at Wentz real quick. Let's Wentz it up. Carson Wentz, price.
Yeah, it's pretty big.
Let's see.
300 in June.
Yep, 300. It's basically the same chart as Deshaun Watson, 300 to 830.
But to me, that does mean he's a sell. Like, if he's gained that much and things aren't looking better, then that's why I would be one of those 11 people selling.
If you are one of those 11 people, please comment below.
Yes.
That's yeah. When you're talking 3x your return on a card, yeah, you got to go.
Right. Yeah.
Especially when you're in the 900 range for a guy that's in a pretty dire situation. But
right.
I digress. Okay, so you asked a question earlier, and I think it's a very fair point. You asked, what does the market look like as a whole? And I did put together something. Let me pull it up here real quick while we were talking. I think it's fascinating to look at. So this is showing, so let me show it to everybody. So this is going to show for listeners, I'm going to show what the overall daily moving average is PSA 10 rookie cards for all rookies in NFL from 2010 to 2019. 2020s are obviously not in there yet.
Right.
So here you go. Look at that trend. So June 2nd. You were looking about $8,000 a day in combined total sales. And yesterday, you were at about $26,000 in daily sales.
Wow.
3X. Everything is about 3X. So we keep saying 3X.
Yeah. And so, I mean, that's what it shows.
The market as a whole is moving up NFL. That's every position, every rookie card that we track. So
that's incredible. That's awesome. You can do that, Ty.
Yep. So anyway, cool. All right. So real quick, let's do some quick hit news and then let's wrap it up and talk about what you're gonna do next week. Fournette to the Bucks. You're not a buyer of Fournette. Is that what I'm hearing?
Not right now. Like, no, I don't. Like I said, they got a lot of people there. They got a lot of running backs there. They mean Ronald Jones and they drafted Keyshawn Vaughn. Fournette's come in. It's just, like I said, Brady's going to decide who goes back there, whoever blocks and keeps him protected, he's going to put back there. So I'm not really into Fournette. So yeah, not really in for me. What do you think?
Heck no.
Yeah.
Heck no. Yeah. That's been he's been a thorn in the side of every coach and every team.
Right.
No, thanks. Collins hurt for the Cowboys. You think that's a massive impact?
I just think it's a concern because I think as a Cowboys fan, like their biggest bread and butter has been what they put in the offensive line. You know, we lost Frederick to retirement early due to his immune deficiency disorder they kind of developed. Tyron Smith is getting hurt and he's getting older and older. You got Zach Martin, who's a staple, and Collins is our other staple. And he's only out for 3 weeks on an IR stint, but it just could be bad for Zeke or Dak coming out of the gate. They could have not a smooth transition coming with him being out. So it is a little bit concerned, I think, with the Zeke and Dak front.
Okay. By the way, I just realized if I position my head right enough, it looks like Mahomes is like crushing
your head.
Yeah. There you go. Sorry. I like this other point here you made on our agenda. If Mr. Minshew struggles, mustache, yes. Minshew.
Yeah. So I mean, they released Glennon was kind of their backup quarterback to Minshew, and they're going with that. They like Lutton, the guy they got in the draft this year. So I just think that if Minshew's on a short leash, because they don't have a lot invested in him in terms of money, and the Lutton's also a late round quarterback, so you can see the Jags really give him the quick hook, kind of like they did earlier, if they need to.
Yeah.
So, I'm kind of on the. I like Minshew. I think he's just a good face, like we talked about before. So I just reading the tea leaves that Lutton's impressing just makes me a little bit nervous.
He's a good face. What just happened here?
He's just a guy that you put on your card. Like, I want to have a Jaguars card of Minshew with that mustache.
Okay. It just got really weird in here.
Yeah, no, my bad.
No, I think people like weird sometimes. How's your draft going? Who was your second pick?
Yeah, that's actually caught me there. I got sniped on Mahomes on the third, so I took Lamar Jackson. So I got Zeke, Kittle, and Lamar Jackson so far.
You feel good about that?
I do feel good about that. I like that I'm kind of spread out. I think receivers really deep in the middle rounds, so I've been kind of waiting on those guys. So, yeah, I feel good about it.
I would hate to be in a league with you because you're going to have like every good secondary receiver running back on your team.
Yeah. I've been getting AJ Green for peanuts, and I'll keep doing it. I think I'm really high on AJ this year.
Ugh, there you go. My goodness. Okay, so a couple more news nuggets for you. Bears officially announced Trubisky as starting quarterback. My gosh, when's the Trubisky era going to be done? Like, I think we're all tired of Trubisky.
Yeah. I just think that they're trying to prove they made a good pick still and trying to, you know, but they're going to have to fold up shop pretty soon. And they got Foles. With Foles there, you know, time, he's really limited.
Matt's probably like, all right.
Yeah.
You got 2 weeks.
Yeah. Week three, you're under 50% completion again. All right. We're going to Foles. So. I can't stop watching those like high, you call them low lights of him throwing like 15 yard in routes that are like 3 yards behind the receiver. You're just like, see? I mean, come on, man, you had one job.
Exactly. Oh my gosh. Josh Rosen signed the practice squad for the Bucks. I feel so bad for Rosen, man. Like he just got shafted.
Oh yeah. Bad. And then, you know,
I hope he gets up. I hope he catches a break. Tutelage under Brady, and then something happens where Rosen has the opportunity to jump in.
Yeah, it's been definitely a rough go for that guy for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when he went ahead of Lamar Jackson. He went ahead a lot of guys in that draft that have had great careers.
Very true. Very true. Adrian Peterson signing with the Lions. Is he going to play for the Lions this year?
I think he'll get some carries. I think they're going to be run focused. Yep. That's why I said I'm not like I kind of makes me mad because I feel like I want DeAndre Swift to get a lot more touches and not just more touches to other guys. So if you don't bring AP to not play him, he's not going to just sit on the bench.
Yeah, agreed. That guy does not age. You see his. You ever see his like workout plan and what he does to stay in shape?
I would be very interested to see it because
I'll have to put that in the show notes if I can find it. It is crazy, his workout plan every week.
I bet. He's a specimen for sure.
He is absolutely a specimen. All right, that's all I got for you, man. Hey. Anything else, man?
No, I'm just excited for football. I'm just excited to get some games rolling and get some stats going and start seeing some of those prices jump. And now I'm really excited to see how our bet turns out.
Be looking at coffee shops that you like. I'm a big light roast guy, so find the light roast beans that you like. And
all right, I'll have to see if you want me to get an actual nice local shop or if you want the Canadian Tim Hortons route, since everybody loves Tim's up here. So,
oh goodness, I only want Tim Hortons if you can get me a pack of cards that comes with
the hockey ones,
hockey cards.
You got it, yeah.
All right, I'm getting too overconfident here. Drew Lock needs to perform first.
That's right. Got the weapons. He's got the weapons.
Yes, he does. All right, man. So next week, your first episode, and we'll be promoting the heck out of it because I'm sure it's going to be excellent.
Yep.
Have fun, man. Good job.
Yeah. Thanks. Yeah, I'm excited just kind of talk about new releases, hot and cold guys, kind of do a little vintage spotlight, try to put up a little cool rookie card, kind of looking maybe at the Barry Sanders one for the first one, but we'll see. Do a little retail update and just how the rookie's performing, which everybody likes the rookie cards, right? So,
right.
That's what we're looking at.
It's going to be fun. Looking forward to it. Remember, put your comment in. Tell us what topics you want Tyson to talk about. We'll give this box away and we'll give a little something special away as well. Comments in the YouTube show notes. Tyson, have an amazing week. Enjoy the football season.
You as well.
All right, brother. See ya.